Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning back into Book Nook. This is Book Nook, and tonight it's going to be featuring me, the boss lady, Attica Lundy Cooper, and Just J. Warner with the guest authoress, Strawberry. So we're going to get into some more On the Rise music right now, and we will be back with Just J. very soon. We have a wonderful show set up for you guys tonight, so just stay tuned. This is Ambry, wouldn't be.
But it wouldn't be. But it wouldn't be. But it wouldn't be. But it wouldn't be.
I heard you've been lingering all the way. I made you feel why. Wouldn't you be missing me? Yeah, it could have been a real deal. I tried with you, but Lord knows, don't tell me.
Listen, I've been holding back so long and look, it's killing me. Cause you know I'm feeling you and I know you're feeling me. I didn't even have to know your name when I met you, cause I fell in love right there and I missed you when I left you. That damn smile got me falling in. So deep, you're the future I'm envisioning. I get butterflies every time I visit him. I'm so excited to find out what our future brings. Cause he's the one, yeah, I know it. I'll be there to catch each kiss when he blow it. Me minus you ain't the world that I ever wanna see. You keep my pulse racing, you're the rhythm to my every beat. If you ain't in love, then you won't know what I'm saying. I'm forever by his side and right here is where I'm staying. Rose petals on the floor surrounded by candles. Picture of us in the frame sitting on the mantle. I swear to God this is the feeling that I've never known. Pray that it's him every time somebody call my phone. I wanna prove the people wrong, telling me it's a bad idea. I can feel their jealousy every time you're standing here. Yeah, I know that it's funny, I never knew that I could feel this way. But I hope that you never leave, so promise me that you always stay. Cause I don't know what I'd ever do. My heart stops at the very thought of losing you. You got a piece right here, yeah, it's yours. Fly around the world, take you with me on my tour. Yeah, I know that it's funny, I never knew that I could feel this way. But I hope that you never leave, so promise me. Cause I couldn't ever picture life without you. It's like I'm so in sync with the world and I'm around you. Can't concentrate on many things but us. This is the real thing, I can't contemplate on loss. I've only ever read about this kind of feeling. Love struck so I don't know the floor from the ceiling. Can't tell if I'm coming or I'm leaving. Hot flushes when I see him, like my favourite season. Hold hands through the park, phone calls for hours. Hugs in the winter, kissing in the rain showers. Ladies, if you got a man, give a clap for him. Or if you see a happy couple, then don't hate and just be haps for him. And if you're broken up, don't reminisce on bad times. Think of when you smile, just to help you through the sad times. I love my life, I don't even have nine. Never went looking, but I've already found mine. Yeah, I know that it's funny, I never knew that I could feel this way. But I hope that you never leave, so promise me that you always stay. Cause I don't know what I'd ever do. My heart stops at the very thought of losing you. You got a piece right here, yeah, it's yours. Fly around the world, take you with me on my tour. Verse 3, and I've already said too much, or have I? Baby, tell me if you love this stuff. Tell me if you like hearing how I really feel, cause I'll do it more often. Do we have ourselves a deal? Put your hand on my chest, see how my heart beats for you. If it had arms, then it would hold them out and reach for you. If it had a mouth, then it would open up and speak for you. Trying to keep my balance, cause my legs are going weak for you. It feels strange, cause I don't like to open up. I'm taking inspiration and continuing to soak it up. It's like I found a gold, or like I found some luck. I was searching for some oil, I found a spot and then I struck. No way. No more excuses, this is meant to happen. For each time my heart beats, the instrumental's clapping. Clap, clap, like that, like that. Yeah, I know that it's funny, I never knew that I could feel this way. But I hope that you never leave, so promise me that you always stay. Cause I don't know what I'd ever do. My heart stops at the very thought of losing you. You got a piece right here, yeah, it's yours. Fly around the world, take you with me on my tour. Yeah, I know that it's funny, I never knew that I could feel this way. But I hope that you never leave, so promise me. Yeah, I know that it's funny, I never knew that I could feel this way. I'll be power, I'll be power. Everybody wanna see me fall. They wanna see me shatter, crumble like the Great Wall. But I won't, I refuse, I will thrive to get what I want in this moment in time. Like Nicki and Drake, I want this moment for life. I wanna feel drained like a leakage in a pipe. Cause only then I will reach my true potential. With the control in my hands, they be feeling presidential. Obama, more than one time I've experienced karma, which left me in the state where my mind felt darker. Till I picked up the pen and there was nothing left inside my Parker. See, my emotions are sprung to the point. the chill, there's no air left in my lungs. Take this music serious, how could you think it was for fun? You just wanna see me fall, never wanna see me prosper. But I'll do this till my lungs stop breathing, heart stop beating, until I'm every 6 feet under. Leave the haters in the past, don't let them stress myself. Diamonds isn't how I express my wealth. I just keep writing till my album's up on the shelf. See, it's not about the glitz and the glamour. I want, oh yes, reactions like Jules Santana. Yeah, music's for the love and the pride of it. But nowadays you need money to provide in it. So watch me as I blossom right before your eyes. Listen and take in everything I provide. See me grow from the girl that you know as a woman. Watch me do all the things that I thought that I couldn't. This is me, take notice. Don't ever ignore me. Getting cool to the people who said they never saw me.
You just wanna see me fall, never wanna see me prosper. But I'll do this till my lungs stop breathing, heart stop beating, until I'm every 6 feet under.
To the dentist today, so I had a little filling that was missing, that had a hole, and I got that fixed, so now I feel a lot better.
Yeah, the, it's so crazy how, you know, a tooth could just ruin everything, you know. One tooth can make everything horrible.
Right.
I haven't been feeling well myself today, girl. My fibroids have been acting up, and I didn't even know that's what it was. But I went to the hospital today, and I didn't even take any of the medication, but I guess just going to the hospital, girl, I slept since I got back.
You're probably exhausted.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you have fibroid problems. That is, I had the opportunity to go and interview a doctor that deals with people with fibroids or any kind of pain. Women, it's for women, in the pelvic area. And she was just giving me such good information. So definitely diet can help fibroids.
Well, you know, I actually had a cyst burst back when I was 19, before I had any children, and they said that it was, you know, because I was in the Army, I guess I was, you know, doing too much, you know, they push your limits, but, you know, they said, oh, it may prevent you from having children, and then I got pregnant with my son at the end of that year, so I'm just, you know, I was just like, okay, so everything's, you know, all right, they haven't been really bothering me. Like, you know, I'll get pains around, you know, time for my menstrual, but
right.
other than that, I'll be okay. But, girl, this was giving me, like, it had my hormones so crazy, it was giving me pregnancy symptoms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know how
and,
that is with the hormones.
Yeah, girl. It was giving me all types of, you know, everything except morning sickness. Everything except morning sickness. And so I'm like, but wait, you know, I can't be pregnant. So
right.
I went in to see what was going on, and that's what it is. One of them is swollen, like it's swelling up. So I got to take, and you know, with fibroids, they never go away. They just shrink down. So you have less issues at different points and times depending on your hormone level. So it's like stress can make them swell up and, you know, just any little thing. It's so crazy how our hormones are so, you know, as females, our hormones really do control our physical.
You know, they
you know.
Really do. But I also found out that I was learning about estrogen because I have cancer that runs throughout my family. And,
yeah,
you know,
me too.
I'm 44, but I've had a partial hysterectomy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering what my estrogen level was because I am embarking on that age where even though I had the partial, I still can go through menopause. So
right.
I wanted to get my estrogen. So I'll let you know what they say about that because I just got the blood work done yesterday. Because I'm just
okay.
curious, you know, and I love this Women's Center. They just are so nurturing. I just found them, and I interviewed the lady, the doctor, and she's just teaching me so much about women and,
yeah.
you know, our bodies and our structure and what goes on the inside, especially in the woman part. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is, I would love to have at least one more baby before, you know, everything shuts down. And, you know, it's looking like with the fibroids, I'm going to have to at least try and check into some treatments because that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they won't work together. Those two things won't happen together. Last time I had an issue with that, it made my pregnancy high risk. So, you know, I don't think that I'm going to go into right now trying to have a baby, but I definitely need to get my fibroids back under control. But they say if you don't have surgery to remove them, then they will always come, you know, they can always come back and be an issue.
Right.
But, shoot, if I can, you know, eat certain things to get them in check, that would just be wonderful, girl. Because I really was thinking something was wrong with me. I'm glad that that's all it is. Everything else came out, you know, healthy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm glad that that's all it is. But it really, like, it was draining my energy, girl. I would sleep a full 8 hours and be dozing off in a car on the way to somewhere in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, it just, you know, it was just a lot to deal with. And, you know, I take iron
good.
And vitamin B. You know, vitamin B is supposed to give us energy, but it just wasn't working.
It wasn't
so
working.
I had to figure out what was going on, yeah. And, you know, I do a lot. So I thought, you know, when you do a lot, you just think, oh, maybe I'm just crashing. I just do a lot of running. But I had to go and, you know, figure out what it was. I really
wow.
hate hospitals, too, so I think just being at the
no.
hospital had me exhausted.
It was exhausting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you're back and that you're better.
Yeah, me too.
It
I'm
wasn't,
glad
it wasn't a little
girl,
bambino.
I know how that feels. I know how
yeah.
that feels with the tooth thing, girl. Do you know I had a wisdom tooth try to grow in on my birthday, girl?
No, see?
Oh, my God, girl.
I've
never had any of my wisdom teeth pulled because, you know, like, they'll give me a problem for 1 or 2 days and then it'll stop. But I wish they were already, I feel like I'm a baby teething or something. I wish they would just already grow in and just leave me alone. I'm scared to go through the, you know, to actually get it pulled.
Right. go in there and just be honest with them and tell them, look, I have severe anxiety, and this is scary for me. And
right.
They were just really nice about it. They didn't just kind of force me into everything. I mean, it was just a nurturing experience today. But Denver Health is very nurturing anyway.
That's good. I was telling
somebody about that today. That's, you know, one of the things that I found when I came out here. You know, you'll see me posting about, you know, them needing to legalize cannabis. And cannabis is legal pretty much everywhere. It's the CBD is legal. But nobody knows how to get to it. So you still have a lot of people suffering. So you see me posting stuff like that about the cause itself. But I couldn't wait to get all those answers because, I asked doctors and they're like, oh, I don't agree with it. So nobody referred me to cannabis, even though that's what I wanted. So I had to pick up and move from Atlanta to come to Denver.
Atlanta is behind on a lot of things. Atlanta doesn't want to offer you a lot of things that other states offer.
And that's why I find it so crazy
that they have like a black mecca here, because Atlanta is really not, you know, it's really behind on different things that are innovative and more helpful. You know what I'm saying? But then again, you know, it is the South, but even Florida is more helpful in a lot of ways than Atlanta.
I just want it to be legalized everywhere and accessible to everyone if they need it, because I honestly feel like had it been that way in Florida, my mom wouldn't have died from cancer. I feel like, you know, she could have been treated with a CBD. And so I'm just going to keep, you know, pushing that message to people that a lot of people on this last election, you know, with Trump, they're like, well, a lot of people didn't vote. The votes really wouldn't count, but a lot of people wouldn't vote, you know, because they didn't like either person. And I'm like, but it wasn't just about Trump. You have to also vote on other issues that affect everybody, especially this cannabis issue. A lot of times cannabis issue can't even get on the voting board because we don't vote in the preliminary stuff for it.
But not only that, you know, it's a major thing with the, with the whole health industry, and I'm calling it that because something like cannabis cures things, and they're really just looking for treatment so they can continue to charge you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's where the money is. There's no money in a cure. Everybody knows that there's no money in a cure. But they're going to have to stand up. I mean, they're going to have to sit up here and tell the truth about this. They, you know, it was some kind of propaganda going up in Ohio. I'm not going to say it was propaganda, but it was something going on in Ohio about cannabis being tainted. And, you know, people were tainting it and people were dying because, you know, and I'm like, see, that's another reason why. If they're trying to say that cannabis can be dangerous, okay, great. But guess what? If you legalize it and you regulate it, then nobody has to die. You know, like here, we just go to the store, just like you go to the Walgreens, you go to a dispensary and you buy whatever
you need.
Yeah, whatever you need, edibles, if you don't smoke, you get access to it just by going to a store. You shouldn't have to get it off the street. So that just proves the point is, you know, they want to try to make it seem like, oh, it's so dangerous. No, it's dangerous because you guys are not letting us have safe weed, you know.
But you know what, though? I think it's I think that without tainting it, cannabis has never hurt anybody. And you have to wonder who's doing the tainting. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
because
it's
beneficial. It's beneficial, you know what I'm saying, for someone on the street to continue selling good weed. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like they would be the ones to do that. And a lot, and most often they wouldn't even know what to do to taint it. You see what I'm saying? So you have to wonder who is really trying to damage, you know, the benefits, trying to scare people. You know what I'm saying? From using it, because anytime you have like something natural that someone can take and it cures them, you would think, oh, let's go tax it. But being that you can sell it, you know, sell it and it will cure it, it's not as big of a financial thing for the health industry as a medication that's going to cause you to need more medication. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all of it does. Like, even with the medication that they have me on now, which I've only been on medicine for about, I don't know. It's been some months. It's been at least 10 months. The medicine that I am on, I'm just like, dang, I know me. I know I'm going to get off of it again. And when I get off of it, I'm just wondering, like, what side effects then? Because it always happens like that. You have all these stupid side effects with these medications that cause you to have to get more hooked on another medicine to regulate that. And it's just like, it's so fearful when you're dealing with cannabis. You don't deal with none of that stuff.
Right.
There's no side effects. Okay, if you don't want to get high, go to CBD instead of THC. You know, like, it's ways of getting around all of that stuff and getting through it with cannabis. So, yeah, that's my cannabis feel.
I mean, I fully agree with it. You know that. I fully agree that it needs to it needs to be legalized everywhere. Anything that can cure somebody shouldn't be illegal. But you would think...
Right.
You know, well, you wouldn't even think because, you know, we already know why it's not legal.
Mm-hmm.
We already know. But, if I was someone who needed it and it would be that beneficial to me, I would have to move to get it because it doesn't make sense to take medications that are making you more sick. And most of these cancer treatments are what's killing people.
Right.
It's the treatments. It's the chemo that's killing people. It's not actually the cancer.
Yeah. That's what it is. But, and the pain that comes along with that.
Right.
Very
painful.
You know,
I don't even see how they, like, you know, chemo makes your teeth and your hair fall out. I don't even see why they want, you know, they want to continue doing that to people.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, a lot of doctors are still not convinced about the cannabis. They're not convinced about it.
Get paid more money if I got to keep treating you.
Yeah.
that's what it is. If they're, you know, any type of doctor that sees something that actually stops a seizure dead in its tracks, I would at least be interested in it. If I was a medical doctor after health for people, but if you're in it for an industry, yeah, I don't want something that's going to cause me to get paid a fourth of what I'm getting paid now. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, if I could keep recommending these, you know, they get paid to recommend medications to you first and foremost. You know, the manufacturers of the medication, you know, that the more that the doctors, you know, prescribe this and prescribe that, the better for them. So they get paid to prescribe medications. And then, you know, when you need another medication for that side effect of the first medication, you know, you got to go back and pay them again. It's so crazy. You can't even shoot just to get to the hospital in the ambulance. You already owe them $500.
Oh, yes.
Before they even touch you. You owe them $500 just for getting in the ambulance to go there.
And like $10 for a Tylenol.
For one. Some saline solution, some freaking salt water cost you $365.
I know.
Yeah,
that's,
it's just
crazy.
Foolishness.
But, you know, I felt really good about that doctor. Like I said, she is really informative and really organic. And she told me, instead of going to get some pills or something, like, you know how they refer you and stuff, she's like, go get some castor oil.
Mm-hmm. So she's holistic.
Yes, I love it.
That's great.
They have the freedom to do that here, though.
Yeah, of course.
Because she knows I do cannabis
great.
Treatment. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's so cool because when they know you do a cannabis treatment, they try to come up with other organic stuff you can do. She's
right.
even talking about acupuncture. Like, I've been asking for acupuncture forever.
Right.
Way better than taking medicines and stuff.
Right. When you gotta, when they gotta go back and talk real fast at the end of the commercial, or they put out a new medication and then next you know it's a commercial with a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they aren't trying to help anybody. Let me
you gotta check on
Strawberry because she because I don't.
She probably doesn't have the number. I posted it on my Facebook, but I don't know if she's following me.
Yeah, I'm about to make sure she has it.
And you know, I still don't know the number by heart.
Me either, girl. And that's so crazy. And then my phone, for some reason, every time it's time for me to look for it, no matter how many times I believe I've saved it, I can never find it.
Yeah. I saved mine under On the Rise Radio. But if I'm on the phone, I can't see it sometimes, so. All right, I'm going to get some music going so we can get a little break in before the guest gets here.
Okay.
All right.
Music and I don't know what to say, so I just tell them I don't do it. As for my potential, I abuse it. Took a step away, I'm useless. Couldn't find a spark, cause all I had was broken fuses. I couldn't write a bar, it's like my mind was always clueless. Blocked it out because I didn't know how to get through this. Music was my life and I was petrified to lose it. Things were popping off, but I got silly and I blew it. The ones that I look up to were the ones who held me down. They made sure I was cool and always checked up on the frown. They told me it was fine and it's a temporary blip. And time will pass and soon enough I'll be back on my shit. But I didn't trust them at the time. I was convinced that I could never write another rhyme. Make words intertwine, write the right line. But now I am inspired, so I've located my shine. I realized I don't need to be famous to make music. I wanted all the wrong things, this industry's abusive. I just like writing a song and hearing feedback. So I am praying that I never get that greed back. I'ma lean back like Fat Joe when I'ma leave that. If that's the situation there, then I don't need that, believe that. I'm just trying to live a happy life and get my dreams back. And do what I do best so I can go and get my team back. Dreams are never far away. Disappear and they come back again. Back up on the track again, just like I never left. Like I never left, like I never left, like I never left.
Welcome
and
back.
We are back. Yeah. We was all talking at the same time.
Okay, so our guest did call in.
Okay, here she
is. Hey, Strawberry.
Hi, everyone. Hi, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
Oh,
it's fine. We usually talk for before the guest comes in anyway.
Yeah, we catch up.
Right, you know, from the week. I was talking to her about how many shows you ladies have, and how many shows I had yesterday. I literally had four shows between you guys and the shows that I host. So, you know, it's really nice for us to be, you know, becoming busy as far as promotion.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's start talking about you as an authoress.
Okay.
I know that you wrote, you participated in a few anthologies. So let's talk about that. How did you come to have pieces of your work published before you actually became an author?
Actually, I felt very actually good about that. My first anthology that I did was called A Different Kind of Love Story, and that was published under Reba Williams. And mm-hmm. we had it was myself as well as 12 other authors, and I really enjoyed it. And that's actually how Diamond in the Rough came alive.
Right, because it was a revised story, correct?
Yes. Mhm. Originally, it was a short story.
Okay. So, how many? Well, was that your only piece that you had put in an anthology?
Yes. That was my
okay.
However, I was due to do a second anthology, but some difficulties happened, so that couldn't happen.
Hmm.
Okay, so what made you decide that you wanted to get into writing novellas and novels?
Well, what made me want to do novellas and novels, and actually, I should say novelette as well, was because of that I felt like I have a voice. You know, I have so much stuff going on in my mind, so much stuff that I've gone through in life itself that I really kind of want to get out and voice so that, because I never know, the things that I write could make a difference for somebody out there.
Right.
So that's why I decided to write. It's just another form of therapy for me and another way of getting my voice heard.
Okay. So were you looking long before you found me? I know I went on one of your shows that you co-host, but were you looking for a publisher for a while before that?
I was actually. I kept looking for, I kept trying to come back to this one publisher who kept rejecting me pretty much every time I came to her. And then I tried to go to another publisher, and of course I got rejected by her as well. So I have been searching for a while before I found you.
Okay. And I think that's weird. I think that, you know, if someone has a story to tell, that, you know, there's a way to get it out there. You know
right.
what I'm saying? There's a way to get it out there. Right. You know, so and then even if, you know, they felt like you weren't at where you could be, they, you know, as publishers, it's our job to help you grow as a writer.
Right.
And I think a lot of, you know, publishers don't take that aspect of the job seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about your story. Introduce your story to us.
Well, the story that I wrote is called Diamond in the Rough. And that's pretty much about a character by the name of Apollo, who was well known in the streets of East Baltimore. Now, he always grew up in his father's shadow until he was arrested for a double homicide. Of course, that was when Apollo had to follow in his footsteps and look after his sister Diamond. Now, Diamond, of course, you know, she wants to become a better person and expand her horizons. But, of course, ever since her father got arrested, things about her have slowly but surely started to change. However, because of her involvement with drug lord Boar, Apollo forces Diamond to move to Philadelphia with a close family friend who is hypnotic. So that's kind of like the basic as far as what the story is about.
Okay. I like that hypnotic. That's my poetry name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
And there was like a, getting into the story without telling too much, you know, hypnotic had a lot going on with her, you know, going on with her relationship-wise, you know, her
yeah.
and there was some tension between her and Apollo, but, you know, she originally had a girlfriend.
Right.
But, you know, it seemed like that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you. It seemed like all of the women in this book had relationship issues. Did you write that on purpose, or that's just how it came out?
Well, at first I was going to write it on purpose, but then that's just how it came out. Because for some reason, like, the characters, they just kept going back and forth, and then that's just how it kind of came.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of both. Like, I did it on purpose, but it also was an accident. I'm not sure if that makes
like,
any sense.
You know, it came out more than what you expected, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because I know, you know, as I was reading the main character, you know, I felt like Diamond, I felt like she just, you know, she didn't know what she wanted. She just was in love with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, she
Attica, she, the girl loved everybody. Like, as you go, you know, move along in her days and her, you know, her time, her plot or whatever, she just loved damn near everybody that came in contact with her.
Yeah, she did. She didn't know what she wanted, you know, because she didn't, it was pretty much going on with her upbringing, you see what I'm saying? Because of her upbringing, that's why she's the way she is. And, of course, that will kind of, I will further explain as far as why Diamond is the way she is, why Apollo is the way he is, including the other characters, in part two.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, so there is a part two.
Because with this book, I did this purposely to kind of, in a way, confuse the readers, but keep their interest. Like, if they say, okay, well, why does this part happen in the book, or who is this person? You know, when they read part two, then part one will all come together.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, what genre would you call this?
I would call this more so a mixture of urban fiction and street lit with a touch of erotica, like a little dash.
Okay. You know, it's interesting when you mix genres, you know, the blending has to really be on point. You know, because each genre has their, you know, requirements to fill into,
right.
You know, to fit into that category. So do you see yourself writing in any other categories?
I do, actually. I see myself writing more so in paranormal, science fiction, regular romance, LGBTQ romance. So I see myself writing a whole lot of genres. As a matter of fact, I'm working currently on a paranormal genre right now. So.
Okay. And you know, that's I think I dabbled in that a little with I touched on sci-fi. I don't think it's something that I will continue to write, but you know, I at least wanted to have one book in
right.
as many categories as possible. You know, it's just, you know, sometimes even if we can write in multiple categories, sometimes, it's just not your thing, you know, and we have to learn ourselves and figure out what works best or, what we work best. I should put it in that way. So let's move
right.
forward to you as an entrepreneur.
Okay.
You also promote. You know, mostly online, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly online.
So let's talk about how you started doing that.
Well, I started out, this was a few years ago. I started out when I was a reader. I would promote for different various authors, and then I promoted for myself, and then I would promote for UNC Promotions at the time. I would promote under her. And then I expanded, and then I started Strawberry Promotions again to now promoting for the lovely Just Jay, as well as
mm-hmm.
other authors as well.
Yeah.
So I do that on Facebook. I promote via Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Right. So it's online promotions, social media promotions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. are you accepting clients?
I am, actually. I'm always accepting new clients.
Attica, maybe we can do something for her in that area too, because her prices are super reasonable. Like, I think she's doing like $30 a month.
Okay.
Actually, it's more like $40 a month right now.
Yeah, but that's still reasonable, $40.
Yeah.
You know, so Attica has a whole network. So, you know, maybe you can get in touch with her and some people. You know, she can, put some people, send some people towards you.
I would love that.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so, you know, would you be interested in having, like, a team? Because I know that, you know, you would be able to do a lot more if you were to get people underneath you, you know, promoting as well.
You know, I would definitely love to have a team. The only thing about that is I can't afford to pay my team at the moment, but If my finances were up to par, then, yeah, I would definitely love to have a team under me.
Well, you know, Attica and I know that, you know, anything is doable. You know, you'd be surprised.
Mm-hmm. That's true,
yeah,
actually.
I wanted to ask you some questions also. I know I don't want to stop the flow of things, but I want to go back to your writing.
Uh-huh.
When did you first decide that you wanted to be a writer?
I decided that I wanted to be a writer when I was 29, turning 30.
Wow.
I started out just kind of writing in my diary, little short stories and how I was feeling and stuff. And I remember my best friend, who is a sci-fi author herself, she was the one that, you know, kind of saw something in me, and she thought I would make a great writer. At the time, I didn't believe that. I thought, you know, that I was not any good, and, you know, like, what do I know about writing and stuff. And then, of course, when I got in touch with Cedric Lewis, who is my mentor currently, you know, I was telling him as far as what my best friend was saying as far as me being a writer. And since then, since I told him that, he worked with me ever since as far as kind of hook me up with different places and different people. And actually, that's actually how I was able to do my first anthology, was through him. He was the one that set that up for me. So that's pretty much how everything first came about and started.
Okay. I know, as an author myself, it's just with life. Life comes in, and it's just really hard to get around to, you know, get my schedule together. What's your work schedule like when you're writing?
It varies, actually. A lot of times it varies if the characters are talking to me at that particular moment in time. It could be 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It could be 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. So it really kind of depends, and it varies.
So you haven't sat down and said, I'm going to write X amount of hours per day or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
I haven't gotten that savvy yet.
So when did you first, how long does it take you to typically write a book?
Well, I will say that depends as well. Now, with Diamond in the Rough, it took me a total of a year. Now, when it was a short story, it took me, a month and a half to 2 months. But then when I went to revise it from then, it took me a whole year.
Okay. And in A Diamond in the Rough, where did you get your ideas from?
Well, I got my idea based upon, it was pretty much like a love story that I've always wanted. This was in the beginning stages of Diamond in the Rough, and it was a short story. That's pretty much how I got my ideas, because I kept dreaming about that. Now, when I revised it, of course, that's based upon real events that has happened.
Okay. Wow. What advice do you have for other writers?
My advice would be actually to have tough skin. And I'm literally just learning that because I'm very highly sensitive and I know I should not be, especially being in this industry.
Right.
And my folks would tell you, I drive for nuts. But, you know, really have tough skin and to not give up, because there are times that I'm always saying to myself, okay, is this really for me? Am I any good? You know, what am I doing wrong? So what I have to say is, you know your truth and have a voice and not give up, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how things seem on the outside. Always just, you know, do you and tell your story and have tough skin. And don't let anybody tell you anything otherwise.
Right. How does it feel working with a publisher?
It feels good, actually. It really does.
I think it depends on what day you ask her.
That's true. That's very true.
I think it depends on what day you ask her. She's never been signed before, so she really has nothing to compare me to.
Comparison would be to be an independent, which is what we get a lot. I get a lot of independent writers who are not signed, who don't have the, you know, they're not fortunate enough to be signed yet, or they have chosen
path. I was thinking of comparing me to other publishers because my other ladies have been signed before, so they know. What I'm offering is something different. You know what I'm saying? And she's never been signed before, so she really doesn't know what other publishers offer or don't offer.
Well, yeah,
exactly.
But, you know, so with that being said, how do you see it being different than being independent? I guess that was more of my line of questioning.
Well, because see, with me being independent, I would not know what to do. I would lose my mind. Like,
yeah.
Literally, I would lose my mind. So I'd rather be under somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's times I get pissed with Justin. There's times I get mad or whatever. But at the end of the day, she knows I'm not going anywhere. She knows I'm just all talk when it comes to me being upset or whatever, and I'll get over it. You know, so, you know, being with Jay really was the best thing that's ever happened to me, actually. And I love being under her. I love being, you know, partners with her. I love her being my pen sister, my publisher, everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's really
sweet.
Lucky. Well, my goal is to, you know, I'm really not just publishing the girls. I'm grooming them to brand themselves.
Right.
And, you know, she'll tell you, we just had a meeting, a call conference yesterday on, you know, I don't want their books to be the only stream of income in the literary world. So, you know, we are pushing, I'm pushing all three of them to, you know, tap into their other talents. You know, she promotes, Imani does graphic designs, and, you know, we're still trying to find something for, you know, for Rozzy to get into. But, you know, when you first come out, you don't really make a lot of money, you know what I'm saying, as an author.
Mm-mm, you don't.
And, you know, sometimes it can be discouraging. So I'm encouraging the girls to do other things in the literary world so that they will enjoy, you know, being a part of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you been on any writer pilgrimages, like writer conferences or anything like that? Have you gotten involved in the community yet?
I have not, actually, but I would actually love to be a part of that, actually, but I have not been involved in that, though.
Okay.
She is so new, Attica, so we're
starting. I love it.
The virtual tour is actually her first. You know,
okay.
She's doing her first interviews all together. So,
yeah, I love it.
You know, I'm trying to get them out there a step at a time and you know, find the best, because everybody's not the same as far as what works for them promotion-wise. So I'm trying to just, you know, get different things going with
mm-hmm.
each of them so that we can, you know, so that they can get the best experience in it, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Strawberry, where did you get your name from?
Patrick Lewis nicknamed me this name. what happened was everything that I used to type always had a strawberry at the end. And not only that, but strawberries are my favorite fruit. And I consider myself very plump and fluffy, like a strawberry. So Cedric, you know, called wind of that and said, you know what, I'm going to nickname you Strawberry. So ever since then, that stuck. So Cedric Lewis was the actual person that gave me that nickname.
Okay. Do you write, so your book is authored by Strawberry?
Yes. So that's okay. My pen name is Strawberry, but on Amazon, it's author of Strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that's my name, yeah.
I love it.
Thank you.
And that's a really good question because I never even asked that. I never even asked that. You know, I just figured she chose it. But, you know, I think that when we pick pen names, you know, we take on a persona and it becomes a part of who we are. So the fact that it was already part of who she is a really good thing.
Yeah.
And I never knew that at the time when I was first nicknamed this. I never knew that I was a big part of Strawberry. Like, because there's a difference between Strawberry and Lauren, you know, because they're two different people.
Mm-hmm.
See, Lauren is very shy. Strawberry is not.
I'm the same
Nigga,
way.
We had to find Strawberry Attica because she, you know, with promo, you know, I want them to do videos and things like that, and
mm-hmm.
she's just like, Jay, I don't know. You know,
you are too.
I don't know. I've just always been, you know, like I don't like being in the spotlight, but when it comes to, you know, my writing and things, I've never been afraid to try things.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's the thing. Like when I'm writing, I'm fully in Strawberry mode when I'm writing, and sometimes in some of the promos that I do, I'm also in Strawberry mode as well. Now, when it comes to, like, if I get caught off guard and I'm, you know, on a video or something like that, then I'm still Lauren. But if I know what I'm doing, like, recently I made a promo video representing my pen sister with her cover designs and her flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I was looking a hot mess. And it was late at night. I had my bonnet on, but I was in Strawberry mode at the time. So sometimes Strawberry can just come out of me when I least expect it.
And, you
right.
know, that's just about developing. You know what I'm saying? Like getting to know what works for you and growing in confidence.
Yeah.
Have you invested into your craft? Like, well, I'll ask this. What's the best money you've ever spent as a writer?
Oh, well, to be honest, I don't recall ever spending but so much money as a writer so far as of right now. The only thing that I've kind of spent money on were bookmarks and that was pretty much it, bookmarks and a few business cards. But other than that, I haven't really spent like actual big bucks as a writer as of yet.
Oh, wait.
And that's really important,
you
know. it's really, you know, I'm teaching the girls that because it's really important to, even if it's not a lot of money, it's really important to invest in yourself and in your craft. You know, as far as like, let's say, you know, with promotions, there are things you can do and have to be better. And not only that, as far as promotions for your book, there are things that you can do and have to make people see you more professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And,
yeah.
And I'm still learning to do that. It's just like right now, the way my finances are set up, it's kind of hard for me to kind of do certain things when it comes to really make my book come to life more than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'm making any sense with how I said
no,
that.
I understand.
Yeah.
You just got to know that that's your baby, so you got to invest in
that's
it.
Right.
help it to grow, you know, nurture it, all of that stuff. It doesn't just get off on the shelves and then that's it. You know, you got to put it in, put into it, but it is worth it, totally worth it.
It is, but there are times I have a love-hate relationship with my with my baby. So it's like when I'm hating it right now, I ain't trying to do nothing with it. But when I'm loving it, it's like I'm trying to go all out.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it changes. It changes time. I had to, my first book came out in 2014, and I had to learn, you know, that it's way worth it to invest. This year, I invested a few thousand in the beginning of the year. And
That's good, though.
I mean, it's tax time. You know what I'm saying? It's tax time.
You
so,
write it out.
You know, I ordered promo things such as bookmarks and candles and tote bags and, you know, and when I did my tour, you know, I was on a 3-month tour. When I did my tour, the shows that I actually went to and sat down at, I would gift the host one book, one candle, one keychain, and one bookmark, all under the same title.
Yeah.
And they saw me more professionally. And the things that I did, like the things I'm doing now as far as hosting and as far as the clients that I'm getting for my self-publishing, it was because of that type of stuff. You know, and it costs when you're doing the promo tour, you know, it does cost money. It does cost money to do some of these shows and things like that. And, you know, it all adds up. I think in February I spent about $3,000.
Oh,
but, yeah, including, you know, including ordering books, including ordering, you know, I call it swag, you know, stuff with your book covers on it, and, you know, paying to do my book tour. You know, paying for, you know, I paid for my promotions, my online promotions. I have a girl, Liz Venable, that, you know, she's been doing my promotions for 2 years. And, you know, my online promotions. And I paid her from February to August. That way, you know, this month will be the first time I paid her since February. You know what I'm saying? And anything I give her, she's been promoting in between. So, you know, stuff like that is really important to do and get yourself out there. I think that everything I'm doing right now is a result of that money I invested.
Yeah, I agree. I had to do stuff like bookmarks, sticky, like the little sticky pads. I did those. Just things with my book title on. And that's probably why my book isn't as successful as it could be, because I stopped putting into it.
Right.
I got into a block. So, and then that just
like
kind of shut everything down. Yeah. I mean, you know, I wrote into the genre that I wrote into. I couldn't find anything else to go with that. And I was being stuck on that. Like, I just wanted, because I was one that wanted to kind of stick in the same genre. I was going for the LBG, oh, here we go. You know the community.
Right.
Here we go with the alphabet song. Here we go with the alphabet song, because we done added Q to it. But dang it, that's my community anyway. They don't fault me for mixing up our letters. But
but you know, I was looking for, there was a time when I was looking for LGBT authors, and I had the hardest time finding some. I really didn't even know until you said I knew that you wrote a book in that category. I just didn't know that that was the one that you most wanted to write in. But I was looking to sign LGBT authors. And I pursued people, girl, and you know, it's like the people that I really, really like, they just weren't ready. I think they still don't have any books out, the two girls I was pursuing.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to do some more in that community, because when I first wrote the book, I got a real warm welcome, and I was like, okay, yeah, because we don't have a lot of books out. But eventually I when my book switched over to urban, then I was like, okay, now I don't have to stay in this one little box. I can actually go into urban. So now I'm just kind of confused on where I want to go, but I do have some books that I started. So, but if I had to just, if I had have, I say all that to say that if I had I invested more, then it could have gone a lot better. You know, I just let my writer's block actually stand in the way of my marketing, which is whack.
Right.
Like, I can still market my book even if I'm not writing anything else. I was just really stuck. That was my, I'm out of that phase now, but, you know, I went through that block for years.
And sometimes it's like that. Because actually after I had that issue with the company I was signed to, I didn't promote for 1 year. I didn't do anything for 1 year.
Yeah, it takes a lot out of it.
Yeah, not for myself. I ended up becoming a publisher, and I didn't do anything for myself. I didn't promote my book. I didn't write any more books for 1 year. You know, sometimes we get discouraged and we get into, like, a funk. But the crazy thing is, you know, that happened 2014, 2015, the same April, by the time, you know, the actual year mark came, I had 13 mm-hmm. authors signed to the company I was with. So I was, you know, gaining experience in marketing and putting them out and, you know, the actual process of publishing. But, shoot, 2016, I put out about 5 or 6 books, you know, so when it comes back, you know, you have more fire and you have more heat to you.
Mm-hmm. You do. You do.
I like that.
I like that she put out 5 and 6 books. Like, what? In 1 year?
I know, right?
My Shiro.
Well, two of them were books of poetry, and one of them was an anthology, but it was only my short stories. Like, I didn't even do a whole group of people, I just mm-hmm. did me. And then, because the one book that I co-authored came out this year. But, yeah, when I first started writing again, I only had my Shameless series, which has 3 parts, and then High Heels 1, because that came out last February. But, girl, I put out, it's 5 books since then, because I have 9 out. It's 5 books since then.
Yeah, you got to put in for marketing.
Right. And I can do better with that as well. But, you know, I'm just now starting to focus on that area again. I really, really wanted to put out 10 books and then take a break. Remember, I talked to you about that. I wanted to take a break and only focus on marketing, you know, as far as myself as an author.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, I can't seem to shut off my writing mode, which is, I guess that's good.
Yeah, that's good. Are you in that mode right now, Strawberry? Are you in a mode where you just can't shut the writing off?
You know, right now I'm in between. Like, right now, none of the characters are talking to me right now. So I'm just kind of more so focusing on the marketing and the promo. But once the characters do start talking to me, that's when I'll shut down. Like, if I'm not promoting as much or if I'm not marketing as much, that means the characters are full swing in my head, and I can't do anything else but to write.
Right.
Yeah, you know, we got to find balance with that, too.
Yes, I'm still working on that. I'm terrible. Like I said, I am completely new.
I love talking to new authors, though. Just try to pick your brain, because when I pick your brain, it's going to ignite some more stuff and give you some more ideas as well. And then you get to show me how it feels to be brand new again, because it's been so long. My book came out, 2007? No, 2006. So it's been a long time since I was a new writer.
I will say it's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you. I mean, but I will say it is hard being a new writer because of the fact, see, with me, like Judge Jay said, I've never been signed before. So So all of this is new to me. Like, I've done, like, other projects in the industry before, but it hasn't been to the point where it kind of counts, so to speak. So everything is new. I'm still learning a lot of stuff, and sometimes if I'm having a hard time comprehending what's being told to me, there are times I will pretty much drive folks crazy, you know, until I can kind of really figure some stuff out, like, or if I'm trying to call myself venting or whatever. Like, I just, you know, I will say, me being new, I just drive folks crazy. I will say that.
Right. So when your book already came out, are some of the people, because you said it was based off, you know, real life situations, have they read your book and are they like, what the heck, or are they happy, or, you know, how did that work out?
Well, I've gotten both things. Why are you putting out my business? And I've gotten, wow, I like the fact that you finally put it in a book. I mean, it's about time, you know. So I've gotten a little heat from both sides.
Right.
So, yeah.
And what were you saying, Just Jay? It totally interrupted you.
No, it's okay. I actually didn't know that it was, you know, some of the events were true stories. We basically put it out as, you know, fiction, because we added, we added fiction to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and different names and all of that, I'm sure.
Of course.
Yeah, the
so
the
even if they they feel a little bit upset, they can't do anything legally.
They can't do nothing about it. But feel flattered that they got mentioned.
Right. But they, like, a lot, like, people who read the book, they'll know, okay, I know who you're talking about. But the names aren't real. Like, some, like, maybe a few little things are fictional, but for the most part, a lot of these events have actually happened.
Okay.
All right.
So if I wanted to get your book, where would I get your book from, honey?
Yes.
Okay. Well, my book is available on Amazon. It's available in Kindle and paperback. The Kindle is 99 cents, and the paperback is 15. If you want an autographed copy, you can get that from me directly. It will be $7.
Okay. And where can we find you on social media?
Okay, well, I have 3 Instagram pages. The first one is Strawberry_JustJayWarner, and the second one is Lauren the Strawberry, and the third one is Strawberry. Oh my God, I just made this one. Strawberry Review Group. Strawberry Review Club, and then I have 3. Facebook like pages. That one is Author Strawberry, and the other one is Just Jay Warner Authors Present. I'm sorry, Just Jay Warner Present Authors. And then the third one is Strawberry Review Club. And I also have 2 Facebook regular pages. The first one is Lauren Horner. One of them says Author Strawberry and has my picture on there as the profile. And then the second one is Lauren Horner as well, and that's Just Strawberry with a picture of Diamond in the Rough book cover on the profile picture. And I also have Twitter, which is Strawberry8584.
Wow, you're everywhere.
I am, and it's a shame that I can't. The Instagram that I just created, I'm still trying to remember that.
Right.
So I might have that one wrong, but everything else is current.
Okay. Well, it was certainly nice interviewing you this evening. Sorry that my show is so late.
That's
got a late night show.
I feel like I'm getting old. Like I'm starting to like get like little junior Alzheimer's or something, because I totally forgot I had a show tonight.
Getting popular, that's all.
And that's a good thing.
Yes, it is. Okay, well. We will have to have you back here for your next book.
Yes, please definitely have me back.
For sure.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling in, girl.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Have a great evening.
You too.
All right, girl, that was interesting. I'm like, I really want to get that book. It's only 99 cents too.
Yeah. Right. I always do the e-books at 99 cents because, even though you don't make a bunch of money from that, you do get, you know, more reads and more ratings and notoriety.
Right. Right. For sure. I enjoyed talking to her. We're definitely gonna have to have her back soon. Maybe before the next
book. It's refreshing, you know, to go back to, you know, every time she and I converse about anything, I have to go back to when I was new in order to, you know, relate to her.
For sure.
And, you know, because, you know, we all started somewhere. And, you know, I remember being nervous like that or worried about everything. And, you know, you don't really know what to do to make things go the way you see them in your mind.
Right. That's what's up. Well, lady, we're going to go ahead and tie this show up. We're going to wrap it up. And,
Alrighty.
Not sure who the guest is next week, but we will be back next week.
I think it may be another one of my ladies. I think it may be Imani.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, actually. Yep, I just checked the calendar. It's Imani.
Okay.
No. It's not. Imani's is the following week.
Yeah, I think we have an open week next week. So I have to see who the guest is going to be.
Okay. Well, I'm interested in finding out. But it's always lovely to check into the book nook and have some girls off.
For real. But,
okay. I'm glad your two feels better. So, good night, lady.
I'll go back Monday. Good night, lady. You have a blessed one.
You too.